The Drex Radio Show is next. I'm John Lobertini, KGO 810.
Oh, hello, universe.
Now boarding first class, small children, and fat guys.
Each of these cards contains a detailed scenario of a possible apocalyptic event.
We are preparing to orbit the planet.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
And away we go on the Drex Radio Show, live and local on the Bay and around the world on KGORadio.com. Planet Trump has been disrupted. It has fallen off its axis onto its axe because something bad happened. Mr. Haney won the election. That's right. Cruz has taken Iowa. And by the way, let me say this, not by a little, I'm going to call it significant, 28% to 24%. Mark Rubio coming in third at 23%. So, you know, I mean, it's a small voter base there, and what is it, a dozen delegates? But nonetheless, this is big. Ted Cruz won by a pretty significant margin. So Clinton Sanders, dead heat, man. I mean, you know, 49.8 to 49.5. Clinton on top by 0.3%. O'Malley has 0.05. So I was just asking our Iowa native, Heather, can those O'Malley people change their mind now and throw it to Clinton or Sanders?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. But it looks like it's going to be
pulled out in time, if right. I can say that.
You can. Sure you can. It's accurate.
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, she's saying that because he dropped out. O'Malley
he's
has
suspended his campaign.
Yeah, he's suspended. And him and Huckabee. Thank God.
And like all my friends from Iowa on Facebook are all done with their caucusing. So I'll guess that the other ones in the state are closed and it's over. And so you're left with what you're left. And they're just, I don't know. It's such a goofy thing.
It is. It is odd. It's very peculiar. So let me take a look. We're looking now at it live. Democratic caucuses. Yeah, I mean, 49-48 and 49.5 for Sanders. So 44 delegates are at stake in the Democratic Party. Ted Cruz has
Clinton
won.
And Sanders are 0.3 apart,
right.
And there's 0.5 people for O'Malley.
Right.
So that could
91%
make them bring them even closer. But
right, 91% of the caucus is now reporting. So Ted Cruz is the winner, projected by CNN as winning the Iowa caucus once again by a significant
margin.
For
the GOP.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, so it was not a small thing. It's a pretty big thing.
Yeah, and it's interesting because everybody kept saying, oh, Trump's going to take it. And I said, the things that people say to pollsters aren't exactly how they'll vote.
But
so.
Tell me, speak to this because you're from Iowa. I mean, it's
Please
it's
don't
a whole,
ask well, me any caucus questions.
Oh, the caucus questions? Well, I was going
no.
to because
no.
it's a whole
no, no,
different
no.
ballgame.
Look,
well,
I haven't lived there in well over 25 years and I never caucus.
Okay,
so.
Well, so one of the things that was mentioned was, and this goes back 3 weeks or so, that you know, you have to have the ground troops ready to go, and they need to be there far ahead of time of today to go through the neighborhoods and explain to people how it works and really, you know, as I said, round up the troops, because that is a thing that Ted Cruz understood. And as recently as a couple of weeks ago, they were saying, you know, as much as Trump thinks he has this in the bag, he does not have the ground network
Cruz
to reach out
to
all these people.
Folks who were really boots on the ground, you're right. In fact, right. Sarah Palin was talking about that today, I think.
I mean, this isn't the Marriott. It's a boutique hotel. You know, the whole process in
yeah.
Iowa. It's,
yeah.
it's a whole different animal.
Yeah.
You know.
But if you like, we can call my friends in Iowa.
Maybe we should.
But we've got Bob Costantini out in the field, and we'll speak to him in just a few moments and get the very, very latest.
Okay. All right. So I think there are some big surprises, and New Hampshire is next week. And in that particular race, it looks like, once again, this was not the case in Iowa, but Trump's running away with it, according to the New Hampshire polls. now, and Bernie Sanders is running away with it in the New Hampshire polls for the Democrats. So we'll see if that plays out. I'm not sure so many people were thinking that it was a home run and a lock for Trump. You know, as much as the national polls indicate that Trump was going to be the big winner, there were people who were standing back saying, look, you don't understand the whole caucus situation. It's neighbors getting together with neighbors. I mean, actually at people's houses. I find that very interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you have the whole hood over to your house.
Right, right.
To talk
about
it.
That in and of itself, I think, is democracy at its finest.
I like it too. Yeah, but I think it would be strange for a lot of other people. You're giving me the hurry up sign. There's no hurry up until 15 after.
Let's talk about something else.
Okay. All right.
It's opening night party for the Super Bowl at SAP Center.
It is. So there are plenty of things going on all around. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I see the Broncos and the Panthers flags flying all over. And I have
to say.
Really? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not sure what the biggest tall building is downtown San Francisco. I mean, it's not
the Transamerica Pyramid.
I know, it's not that one. It's the one that has
the one second to it.
Yeah, that one has two where they have two flagpoles. Normally, it would be the American flag in the state of California.
Bank of America building, I want to say.
Okay, that's what it is. So it's Broncos and it's Panthers. But big credit to the city. Over the weekend, when they lit the lights for the locals and everybody who was down in Super Bowl City, I mean, you know, I have to tell you, I'm not one for watching fireworks, especially on television. They usually suck. They look like I'm watching fireworks on television. But it was a nice night in San Francisco. And by the way, that's a trick of the hat there.
Right.
Yeah, it's not always a thing. You know, we could be easily fogged in or it'd be raining. But just, I mean, stunningly gorgeous. I had to back up my DVR and tape them just so I could, you know, spew to my buddies across the country. See what you're missing?
Yeah, it was great.
It was that fantastic.
I had no plans on watching it, but then I heard the boom, boom, and looked out the window, and there it was. Really awesome.
It was really good. They spent a lot of money.
I have to correct myself. It is no longer called Bank of America.
Oh, it is.
Because I was wondering, I was like, now, wait a minute, did they move out? So we just refer to it as 555 California Street now.
Oh, okay.
Or your second tallest building in San Francisco.
And it was the Bank of America.
It used to be Bank of America Center, yeah.
It's just like the Warriors arena, which has not been built yet, but they do have a name. It will be the Chase Center.
Until that changes.
Right, until our buddy Sam Singer gets involved in that. All right, so back to the election results. It looks like Cruz wins. Clinton and Sanders are tied. I don't know how they're going to figure that out.
This is crazy.
It's
neck and neck. Okay, Hillary's a little bit ahead now. Okay, well, we'll go live to our reporter in the field.
Okay, so we will be back and we'll talk with Marty Nemko. First, let's go to Westwood One, Bob Costantini. He's in Des Moines.
Strap in, turn it up, and hang on. The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
All right, some Super Bowl fun for Super Bowl City, which is now in effect. So the NFL did a commercial for Super Bowl this year that features a choir made out of Super Bowl babies, people who were supposedly conceived after the Super Bowl when their parents' teams won. By the way, this is a thing. You will see a jump 9 months from next Sunday. So they got together with Seal and they put this together. Take a listen. These are kids that were conceived during the Super Bowl.
But who are the kids singing?
Babies that were conceived during the Super Bowl.
They're sure that all these kids.
Yes.
They're 7, 8, 9 now.
Yes. Oh, well, as far back as they go.
All Super Bowl
Okay, so that's a lot of fun, but the only thing that I don't get about this whole study and all of that was, and they're all Super Bowl babies, but they're saying, you know, that they were all made when their parents' teams won. Well, what the hell difference does it make whether their team won or not? People are still
makes
having
a difference.
Sex.
No, they're not. Well, don't you know that that's when the man beats the woman when his team loses?
Yes. What?
That's the when him, a man's team loses, he beats his wife.
Oh, is that what it is?
He doesn't make sweet love to her. Yeah.
I guess so. Then...
I mean, I'm only slightly. I mean, not. It's not a joke, but I know that spousal abuse goes up on Super Bowl Sunday. I'm pretty sure I can Google it, but I know I've heard this in the past.
I think I did hear that, but I was trying to accentuate the positive, which are babies. So those are the Super Bowl babies.
Never mind. You said, how come it's the team winning? It has to be the team winning because he can't get it up if his team loses.
I know, but let's not assume that all of the fans of the teams who lost are going to beat the hell out of their wives. Some of them might have sex.
Okay.
And they might have Super Bowl babies. I'm sure that's a safe assumption. By the way, speaking of which, all things Super Bowl, it was 12 years ago to the day in 2004 that Janet Jackson performed with Justin Timberlake during the halftime show at Super Bowl 38. Nipplegate, remember all of that? Where he tore off her top and exposed her bejeweled right nipple and set the free speech movement back 50 years. I have a story to tell about this because this is great. First of all, nobody remembers who played the damn game. It was the Panthers. Okay, it was their first time in the Super Bowl, and they played New England. What's new? All right, and the Patriots won, and Tom Brady was the MVP. But people have this perception that the Panthers, invited to the Super Bowl this round is their first visit. No. It's number two. It was just all forgotten about because it was all about Janet Jackson's damn nipple. Now, the part that I love in this story was it set back the free speech movement by 50 years because the FCC hammered down on broadcast television and radio as if, unlike any other time in my career. For instance... At the top of every hour in Chicago, I used to say, it's 7 o'clock in America's greatest city. What's up, bitches? All of a sudden, the memo came out. You can't say bitches anymore. Change it to ditches. So I had to say, what's up, ditches?
And this went on. Are you kidding?
No, this went on for like a year.
That's insane.
It is insane. So hell's damn piss, all of those things had to go away on broadcast. I mean, no,
why?
No, no.
Okay,
memos,
can we just talk
fines?
About how really stupid your boss was? Because
no,
why?
No,
why?
No. The
hang
company.
On. Let
the
me
company,
finish the
entire
thought.
Corporation.
Why would they still allow? Why would they allow you to even say ditches? Just stop saying bitches altogether. Just throw away the entire statement.
I'm just telling
because
you
because then
how
you're
it went.
Alluding to it.
I
yeah,
know
but these people
right?
are morons.
Well.
Oh, my
that's
God.
That's what time it was in America in 2004.
That's bizarre.
It was super bizarre. It affected late night and late night
jokes. Oh, it affected
jokes.
Everything.
Yeah,
the job
everything.
I was doing at the time, what is that called? The dump button and the latency thing went from 10 seconds
to
add another 30.
30. Yes, to 30.
40 seconds.
Yes, where you could hit the dump three or four times.
Oh, my gosh.
Incrementally.
Insane. Hey, yeah. I have to take something back. I got to walk
Thank
it back.
Thank God that
walk
went
it,
away.
Walk it back. Apparently, Snopes says that rise in domestic violence on Super Bowl Sunday, it's not higher than any other day of the year.
Oh, okay. Well,
so I guess that's a thing that went around.
Forgiven.
But it was out there, and that's why Snopes had to investigate it.
Now
and
she'll
set
just have
everybody
to,
right.
She'll just have to run with my Super Bowl baby story.
But the one year there was an ad about domestic violence
yeah,
woven
that.
Into the Super Bowl because
so
it was
many,
so widely believed to be a thing.
And NFL players were being very naughty.
It's the NFL players who are guilty.
There you have it, Heather. Hey, all things that are bet on. All kinds of Super Bowl bets. I mean, and I'm going to get to them coming up.
Whether or not somebody will deflate the balls.
Well, I doubt that's going to happen this year. But there's you can even bet on, I'm looking at real Las Vegas betting. You can even bet on the Super Bowl, which is being held here in the Bay Area, and the odds that there's an earthquake in San Francisco during the game of at least 2.0 magnitude within 50 miles of the stadium. The odds are 56 to 1.
Wow.
Yeah.
I might take that bet.
How about that? And there's like 15 other great ones, which I'll run by you during the Late Night Late Show wrap-up. All righty, we're going to get to our career coach guru, all things career. So if you're thinking about it's time for a new job, or you're thinking, I don't know if my career is going in the right direction, well, then Marty Nemco is your man. We'll talk to him coming up next on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
The Drex Radio Show continues. I'm John Lobertini, KGO 810.
Fresh, live, local. The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
You're just joining us. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. This is the Drex Radio Show. Big surprise, Ted Cruz running, I'm going to say running away because he did run away with a victory. Coming in second place, Donald Trump, 28-24%. Pretty significant. I know Mr. Trump didn't expect that, but a very, very close third, Marco Rubio, coming in third with 23% compared to Trump's 24%.
In his speech, he said he did expect it.
And by the way,
you know how he gets to rewrite everything to fit his narrative, and he's always right. He's
off to New Hampshire. By the way, Hillary is, they're still saying statistical dead heat, but Hillary Clinton is declaring herself the victor with 50 to 49%. All right, we're going to switch up the tables here. Our career coach, Marty Nemco, on the line with us. Good evening, Marty. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. I knew that the public, the brilliant people of Iowa, could never, ever let Trump win. Retardation cannot triumph in the presidential
retardation party across this nation. We'll see what happens next week. I think, Marty, it'll be very interesting because when he goes to New Hampshire, he's so far ahead. And by the way, so is Bernie on the other side.
I'll tell you what, I am taking all bets that we will see a nosedive from Donald Trump like has not been seen before, as like MP, whatever, Flight 370. Party's over for Trump. End of story.
Really?
Well, I think there's a lot of people that want to agree with you, or at least hoping so. So this week we're going to switch things up a little bit. And this, we usually talk about employees and their careers, changing careers, the right thing to do, the wrong thing to do. But this week we're going to make it about the bosses, things they should and should not do. And one of those things is delivering bad news to your employee or employees.
Okay. So, I mean, it's very simple. Just say you're fired. No. I mean, that's what Donald Trump did. He made a whole career out of you're fired, right?
Right, yes. But that's not the way it's handled, really, in HR.
Let me see if I can be serious for a moment. The most important thing in any boss-employee relationships or employee-boss relationships is to put yourself in the shoes of the other person, as corny as that sounds. Say, so okay, what is this? Does this person need to hear a long speech, a short one? Do I need to preempt their fears? Whatever. So let's say, just for a random example, Drex and Heather, I said, I got to get rid of you guys.
Okay.
Even though you're the best there is on the radio, you're too expensive and we need to get somebody cheaper. Uh-huh. So I would probably say something like this. I would probably sandwich it. I would start with you, Drex. I'd say, Drex, you have done an awesome job for us. You've done this and this and this. That way, I'm also preempting your objections. And it's killing me to do this, but I'm not gonna drag it on. We got to let you go. We've got real serious budget problems. I'll write you a great letter of recommendation. What can I do to make things easier for you? So that's how I would dump your ass.
Well, and by the way, he's right on. That's the correct way to do it. If it's happening that way. Now, if I did something egregious or atrocious, then I guess it would be handled in a different way.
Yeah, if you had sex with little boys, I probably wouldn't be quite as gentle.
Right. Right. You would point to this, that, or the other and say, look, that's not going to work for us. You're out of
here. You've tarnished the station's image, blah, blah, blah.
But I understand it, and I think people listening can certainly relate to budget cuts and getting that. But it's still bad news, and it's heartbreaking. So let me ask you this, Marty. When you are the boss, you're the manager, the supervisor, and you have to deliver that to someone, especially who, you know that their family depends on their income, and this is going to be a life-changing moment.
Right. I'm going to make it even tougher on myself. It was very easy for me to blame it on budget cuts, but let's say the person was incompetent, and the person was really terrible. And I also know they've got seven children, and they got family and all the rest of it, and they're going to invoke all of that. I would say something like, every one of us are meant to be in a certain job and not in another's. I am the world's worst person at fixing anything. If I got hired to fix something, I should get fired in a nanosecond. There's a lot that I like about you, this, this, and this, officer, but you're in the wrong job. And I am well aware you've got seven children and a stay-at-home wife, and that's a very serious thing to do. But the best thing, in my judgment, I can do, and it's not negotiable, I've got to do it, is we've got to get you out of here, and I will help you find a job where you are a better fit. What kind of job, John or Mary or whatever, Drex, do you think is the kind of job that if there were a God, you could do well? And I would always end it on a kind of a positive note, even if I was firing on the merits. And I would acknowledge the seven children up front so he doesn't give me that excuse, and then I've got to be arguing with him.
Okay, let me question, Marty. So if that person becomes either A, really, really mad, or it turns to tears,
sure.
Then how do you handle it? Because then it's elongated, and that's not what you wanted. You wanted to be quick and concise and to the point.
But
and,
not
and
be, but we're
and,
human beings.
And be professional,
so if the person
right.
is in tears, I'm probably going to hug him. I am probably, if the person pulls back, I won't. But sometimes we would want support. And I would hug him. If it's anger, and I sense the anger could explode, if this is a person who could go and, slug me, and he's 22 and buffed and I'm not, then I would say, you need to take a couple of breaths here, and we need to take a break, and when you're ready to talk, let's talk. I want to be of help to you, but I can't help you if you're going to slug me. So a little bit of humor even there. Not everything is going to be short in life. Sometimes it does take more time, and it should. This is a very important moment in his life, or her life, of course.
I know that things have changed over the years. In the past, employees were very, very loyal to their companies, and you would hear career people working at the same place, 20, 30, 40. Ron Owens is a great example. Here at KGO for 40 years, just an incredible success story. But nonetheless, and I hate to say, well, let's talk about the millennials because I think that's BS. But there are people who sense that it's coming and they hear through the grapevine, social media or in-house rumors, or this, that, or the other. They know it's coming and they just don't show up. They turn it around and make it, back at you.
Yeah, there has been a complete violation of the mutual contract between employer and employees. Everybody's a free agent now. Even in an ostensible full-time permanent job, they well know that employers are going to let people go if they can find somebody cheaper or automate it, frankly, because the cost of hiring people is so enormous with the Obamacare and workers' compensation and ever higher Social Security limits and wrongful termination suits and et cetera. So employers are hiring as few people as possible, laying off as many people as possible, automating as many jobs as possible, and young people are realizing that that's the norm. And so, they'll either preempt by quitting. And it's just the normative expectation that it ain't going to be 30 years in a gold watch.
Okay. Right. So Jack Welch, the prior chairman of GE, once said that he never had to fire someone who didn't know it was coming. Do you agree with that sentiment?
I had the privilege of interviewing Jack Welch for an hour on my radio show. And he absolutely... I very much supported it. He had a culture that said every time he would give it like an annual talk, he says, "You are the best. We only hire the best here at GE, and that's the good news. The bad news is if you're not the best, we're going to let you go. But more good news, we're going to be letting you know on an ongoing basis how you're doing, where you need to grow, praising you for your good work, But if you get let go, it ain't going to be a surprise. And you know what? They called him Neutron Jack for that because he would dump a lot of people. But in the end, the 90% of people who stayed at GE felt not only great pride, but he took GE. When he took over GE, the GE refrigerators were at the bottom of the Consumer Reports ratings. When he left, they were at the top. It became a really quality organization. And yes, those bottom 10% of people have, well, I'm sure, a lot of sour grapes and disgruntlement. But net-net, the employees and the customers and the shareholders were probably very – that's why Jack Welch has gone down as one of the most respected CEOs in American history.
Indeed. All right, we've got to take a break with Marty Nemco. We'll continue this conversation about delivering bad news to your employees. And also, companies can make workers more loyal and some things that are overlooked. So don't go away. We'll be right back on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
If you're thinking about it, we're talking about it. The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Bay Area career coach Marty Nemco is my guest, as he is every Monday night. We talk all things career. So we ended on a point where we're talking about, you know, as a boss, sometimes you, well, that's your job. You have to deliver the good news and the bad news, which is bye-bye. Jack Welch, we mentioned, he's the chairman of GE, once said that he never had to fire someone who didn't know it was coming. And by the way, I agree with that, Marty. You know what time it is. And I think most people do. Doesn't make it easier.
I think here, especially in the Bay Area, we do live in a culture there where everybody values self-esteem and everybody thinks they're above average, as Garrison Keillor said in Lake Wobegon. But the truth is, not everybody's above average. And you know, and Welch did not fire 20 or 30% a year. He kind of dropped on an average of 5 or 10% a year. But even some of those people at the bottom don't – everybody – you know, I've had many clients, for example, who would have been left go, quote, laid off 3, 4, 5 times, and they always blame it on somebody else. They always think it's somebody else, you know, and it's – or racism, sexism, homophobia, unrealistic expectations, hypocrisy, blah, blah. People don't really look inward that much.
Okay, so since we're talking about the bosses – tell me and those listening who are bosses the incorrect way about releasing someone, because there's a lot of that going on.
Certainly. Well, you know, obviously just being brusque and not human. These are human beings. And I'm not, you know, remember that movie Up, or Up in the Air. I don't think you have these mass firings that you do on, you know, on Skype. I do think that these are human beings, and there is a right place for everybody. Even somebody who was fired for lack of competence, even somebody who screwed up, who stole from the till. We've all made mistakes. So obviously humanity is key. But maybe to kind of balance things out and be more positive, the wise thing to be doing for bosses to focus on is preventing the problem to begin with, which is hiring the right people. And bosses are so subject to the BS that some job seekers, you know, make. I just read a study that over half of people have either misleading or direct lies on their resumes. They list their boyfriend or their girlfriend as their boss, as their references. And so if a boss takes the time to really hire wisely and provide, for example, real simulations of what the hard tasks are on the job before hiring, you're much more likely to get a better person. And then if you treat your workers with respect and not treat everybody the same, but realize that everybody does need a different approach. Some need more managing. Others need to be left alone. Others need to have a job description that's going to be more teamwork. Others can't stand teams. Those are the keys to avoiding having to fire people.
Okay, let's switch things up for a second. So let's talk about companies, and because we are in this day and age where there is sometimes not a whole lot of loyalty to the company nor to the employee. I mean, it's a two-way street. So, so how can companies make workers more loyal?
Well, I think it's what I was saying in starters. It's really treating each person as an individual, adjusting their job description to accentuate their strengths, skirt their weaknesses, sit down with them and saying, I want to be the best damn manager I can be with you. How can I serve you? My job as a manager is to get you to do your job well, and everybody's a little different. Do you like to have processes laid out for you? Would you prefer to create your own? Do you like to do a lot of reporting and accountability to me? Or do you need to be left alone and just once a week or once a month report in? You know, do you want to work as an individual or as a team? Do you want more work than, is there a skill you're trying to develop? Do you want to learn how to program in Ruby on Rails? What do you want to do? It is developing an individualized contract that brings out the best in the person and makes that person feel like, wow, this boss really cares about, yes, his organization or her organization, but cares about me as a human being. It doesn't mean talking about your kid's quinceañera all the time and what a cute fashion-forward statement you're making. That's not necessarily required. It's treating that person as an individual professional, whether they're a clerk or a senior VP.
Marty Nemko, I think there's sometimes a big misconception. I mean, that loyalty is totally tied to the size of one's paycheck. Don't think that's true.
No, studies have shown actually that pay will get you in the door, but it won't keep you. What keeps you is stimulating work, ethical work, being treated fairly, and stuff like that. Also, there are just these plain old things that are really annoying, especially here in the Bay Area. Because the Bay Area Master Plan has called for no new freeway building for the next 20 years, the commutes, unless you happen to be right on the BART line or whatever, the commutes are getting ever longer, and that can grind away at you. That's beyond that
sort. For sure.
A good boss will allow telecommuting as much as possible.
Yeah, you'll definitely get more out of a person that way if they're not wasting 2 hours on the road every day.
Yep.
And to the loyalty thing once again, because a lot of times now, especially in our tech industries in the Bay Area, and I guess tech or not, you know, people, especially the younger generations, they are used to jumping from job to job. And sometimes they're going, you know, from position to position to position, pretty much within the same business. Let's say it's tech. So they know where the good companies were that they worked for. And I think they know when they walk into a toxic atmosphere.
Yep. And the really good boss in today's world says to him, look, I'm not expecting lifetime loyalty. I may have to get rid of you. You may want to get rid of me. But my job is to bring out the best in you and to help build your skills so when you do choose to leave, I'll help you get a better job. That's going to create a measure of loyalty, maybe not lifetime loyalty, but that worker is going to say, geez, this is a different boss.
I like what you said. I like what you said. You said that it's a relationship between the two because sometimes it's not only the company that wants the divorce, it's the employee that wants the divorce. Yes.
Absolutely.
It's not working out for either party.
What I've heard from people in tech is if you want a raise, get another job.
Absolutely.
That's how you move ahead.
That's the normative way. That is the most often way to do it. But we're talking here about managers. If I'm a manager, this is going to sound really corny, but I swear I believe it. I can be tough sometimes, but here I'm going to be touchy-feely. I believe I have a spiritual, almost a sacred responsibility to everybody I'm supervising, because I realize that he or she is spending the best hour of his days, the best weeks of his year, maybe the best years of his life, working for me. That's a critical part of his or her life. I want to make sure that that is as rewarding an experience as possible, which will simultaneously be good for the company.
Fantastic.
I've found just from talking to friends that people really respond to a very simple pat on the back. Thumbs up. Job well done.
Oh, my God,
really appreciate what
that
you're doing here.
Million miles.
Holy cow. Yeah. That's where you get somebody going from, I'll give you 75% to, I'm giving 110.
There's another example of where I think one size does not fit all. Some people, you give enough praise, and they become complacent, and they become lazy. Others really respond well to it. The good manager does not treat everybody the same. The good manager tries stuff, sees what's working. If my praising is bringing out the best in the person, great, keep going. If that person, the praising is making them complacent and lazy, then I'm going to be tough with them. It is an art, like playing the piano. It's not just playing the notes. It's playing with nuance, sometimes loud, sometimes soft, sometimes fast, sometimes slow.
Marty Nemko, thank you very much. MartyNemko.com. He is our career coach, and he can be yours also. Our link is his link is on our page, KGOradio.com. Have a great week, sir. We will talk to you again next Monday.
Sounds good.
All right, thank you. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. We're going to talk condoms and all things late night, late show wrap-up. We're going to throw it all together in 1 hour, since this is an abbreviated version of the Drex Radio Show. That's coming up on KGO 810.